You're listening to the Waking Up Late with Dougie Show with your host, Dougie Almeida. Recorded live on tape at Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. Now here's Dougie Almeida.
Alright, what's up everybody? Good morning and welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's, it's Thursday morning. I can't believe it here in the studio. And I'm here with a special guest and co-host, John Levine.
Hi, Dougie.
Back in his co-host seat,
Co-hosting, doing all that co-hosting stuff.
That's right. And Lenny will be with us shortly when he gets done with his domestic duties.
I kind of feel like after that intro song, you're going to be like, all right, well, that's all we have time for today, so thanks for listening.
Yeah, that's a little long, right?
Just a little bit. I mean, just slightly.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be working on some new stuff. You know, how often do you really change, your intro?
It's branding. I mean, you got to have a consistent brand.
Yeah, and we got two or three different opening songs. You know, the one that me and Peter did, we're waking up late with Dougie. I like that tune.
I don't think I've heard that one.
You never heard it?
No, I've only heard the one that we use Tuesday mornings, which is, keeping it real, keeping it 100.
Right. Now, it's funny about that. I've never heard that song before, like the regular version, obviously. I've never heard it. And then I heard the song, and I'm like, I was waiting to hear. I thought, who's playing our fucking radio show? And I didn't, because I never heard that song before.
Oh, I didn't even realize that there was an actual song that it was modeled after.
Right. You know, it's exactly. Well, it's like the song me and Peter did. You never heard it, huh?
No, never heard it.
Want me to play it for you a little bit of it? So you can.
You can play it. Sure.
Yeah, I'll give you a little taste of it. Our listeners kind of know it, but this is Peter Leonard and myself.
And go.
Waking up late with Dougie. Waking up late with Dougie. Waking up late with Dougie. Waking up late with Dougie.
What do you think?
That's pretty funny. I like that. That's, Daft Punk?
And Pharrell, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. A little bit of that. And that was me and Peter. Peter and I are going to come up with another intro song. So, but we like it. It's funny because when I hear that song, the original version is Up All Night to Get Lucky.
Right.
And so when I hear that song, automatically I think of our song. So,
sure.
It's good to tag on a little of that. But anyway, welcome to the show. This is the WEI Network and, of course, IRN Internet Radio Network, where we come to you with all new shows Tuesday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. This ain't no pussy podcast. And, of course, exclusively on IRN Internet Radio Network, we have Encore Mondays, where you, the listener, get to vote from the previous week's favorite show. By going to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com or Stitcher and just listening to the show and making comments. And best of all time, going back with over 350 episodes to pick from some of the better shows that we've ever done over the last few years. And that's exclusively on Friday and IRN. So, but here, like I said, Lenny normally is with us. He's got some marital duties. He's got a regular job now that he has to, work around. And so he'll be joining us on the second segment or so. So in the meantime, you got John and I. How do you like that?
Yeah, I like it a lot, Dougie. So let me ask you this question now. Are you a little nervous now? What with the whole, Marvin Gaye, Blurred Lines lawsuit?
Yeah.
That they won, because, you're using commercial music.
Well, actually, I'm not using commercial music. That is the, that music was a karaoke version?
Ah, okay.
Because there's no lyrics. It's just the music. So I think karaoke is allowed to be used.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm barely a radio co-host.
Right. Yeah.
So I can barely do that.
Yeah. And we never worried about that stuff. We played the Beatles Good Morning for the first 2 years of the show as our intro. So but you can play a certain amount of like maybe 15, 20 seconds of lyrics, and I think it's like 28 or just under 30 seconds if it's music without lyrics.
I think a level of success for the show would be actually getting sued for that. Like, we become so big that all of a sudden, we're getting sued.
Absolutely. And you know what I would say? Here, I'll send you my financial statements of all the money we make here on the radio show. right. Of which you can dap into if you like.
And if you wouldn't mind sending me a stamp, because I can't even afford to get that to put it on.
Yeah.
Know, to send it over.
Exactly. And by the way, it's that time, you know, it's tax season. And I'm hoping that everybody, you know, I always tell my listeners, you know, I spent 27 years as a financial advisor. Don't call me on this, and because this is, I can't advertise on this, you know, otherwise I got to put everything through the FINRA and everything. So do not contact me for financial planning advice. I only take that by referrals from existing customers. So if you happen to be a listener who has a friend that's a client of mine already, that's okay. But in the meantime, I can't imagine anybody who listens to this radio show saying, hey, I got to get financial advice from this guy.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, we don't.
And I don't think you mean to say that people who listen to this radio show, you know, can't afford that kind of thing.
No.
But the people who can most likely are not going, hey, I was listening to this internet radio show and that guy should be managing my money.
Yes. I mean, this is a completely different, you know, personality for me, you know, and it's funny because one of my clients now has friended me on Facebook. And, you know, I tell people I spent 27 years as a financial advisor. Again, I work by referral, so I do not promote. I do not send out, like, I don't do any advertising for that business. I don't do any, you know, I'm like an attorney. I work strictly by referral. I do not, you know, accept new clients through other means, you know, and spend any dollars to get it, because I have a certain amount of clients now, and I'm only taking on maybe four or five new clients a year. That's about all I really care to get.
So you're saying, you're bringing in so much money that you'd have to get a bigger shovel to move it around your house if you brought on more clients. That's what you're saying.
Kinda. There's never enough money. The bottom line is that there's only so much time. And for me to adequately manage the retirement assets of certain people, I can only do so much. And there's only so much stress that I want to involve myself with. And that's big these days. You know, a lot of friends of mine have gotten into this mode. Like I mentioned this, I don't know if it was on the show the other day, but my wife and I were joking around because it's almost like my wife works Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays as a hairdresser. And for some time, like Tuesday, she didn't even work because she didn't have any clients, so she didn't go in. So sometimes it's 2 days a week. And, you know, it's not like, you know, some of her friends who work 40 hours a week and their husbands work or whatever, and they're all busting their ass to try to make a living. You know, sometimes you could tell, you know, she's like, oh, yeah, I work Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, whatever. And they're like, oh, that's nice. You know?
Yeah.
And, but, you know, but it's great because, you know, we don't have to get up rush and deal with traffic in the morning.
You're not in the rat race.
I'm not in that rat race. I was in it long enough. I was in it for, I left Wells Fargo back in 2010. So, you know, that was it. From 1989 to 2010, I was in the rat race. I was wearing suits and ties and conference calls and fucking lunches and hanging.
I can't imagine you in that environment. I just can't. Like, obviously, I didn't know you back then, but just knowing you now and knowing, let's just say, how easygoing and accepting you are of stupidity, you would really be able to survive without just either strangling somebody or just telling your boss to fuck off all the time.
Well, I was lucky. I had a lot of bosses in this industry that were cool. Ah. And I think what happens a lot of times when a boss realizes you're cool, and you're like I've always been like self-motivated. I never needed somebody to say, come on, Doug, you got to pick up the pace. You know what I mean? I never been like that. I'm a producer. I would always work and be in the top. In every firm I ever worked with, I was in the top, you know, in the top quartile of performers. You know what I mean?
You're an earner.
I was an earner. I was not one of those people that were just, you know, bringing up the rear. I was usually in the top, you know, top five to top whatever was in producers in the firm. And that's great. And I've never had like one of these jobs where you had to press a time clock, you know, you had to show up and right. You got to fit. The last job I had when I was in college, just before I graduated, I worked for American Express in the credit card division. And you know, it was, I always thought it was amazing when you you had to ask to go to the bathroom or, you know,
it's like being in jail.
Could you imagine having a job where you got to raise your, like get permission to go to, and then you only get so much time for lunch? I mean, I was actually a friend of mine, like last month, a friend of mine says, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Let's go have lunch. And he's like, I got to get back to work. I got to be back before. I'm like, oh, you fucking Jesus. Yeah. What? Are you kidding me?
Well, I'll say, look, it's a luxury. I mean, you know, my situation's fairly similar. You know, I mean, obviously I work, but I have my own business. I run it out of my house. So I work from home, so I enjoy the, you know, those types of freedoms.
Right.
A similar type of freedom. And I would say that you probably have more freedom because I do a lot of work with clients, you know, on a daily basis. But it's still, it's not like, oh, my God, I have to be at the office at 8:30. I've got a meeting. You know, like all that kind of stuff. I don't have to deal with that. And it's certainly a luxury. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And it's one that not a lot of people have. And when I had this conversation with somebody the other day, I don't know if I could ever go back.
That's the thing.
To that office environment. Like, you know, if suddenly things don't work out or, my, you know, my business runs into trouble and I have to get a job, you know, that working for someone else, I don't think I could do it.
That's the thing about once you cross that line.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible. Like, I was having a conversation with one of my mentors last week, and he was like, you know, same thing, how's things going? Similar we're talking about now. I feel really good, but I still keep – that's the thing. I've done this so I don't have all that pressure. But then I've added all this other crap to my, like Peter and I were talking this about hobbies. You know, my hobbies now, radio and comedy, you know, those hobbies are taking up quite a bit of time during the week. And it's one thing if you have a job that's your job and you're spending the whole, you know, the whole week doing it because you're in that mode, right? And then when you come home, you kick your shoes off and hopefully you can drop it and get into a new mode. Well, the problem in my life has been, this is when I was talking to him, I was like, the problem in my life is I come home from that, and then I got the other hat I got to put on. Okay, now I got to worry about the comedy thing.
Right.
You know, and it seems like it's always this, it's almost like you're shifting from one persona to another.
Yeah.
And so we had this conversation, but he asked me that question. He goes, let me ask you something. If, let's say somewhere down the road you say, I'm not, the comedy's done, you know, the excitement's gone, you know, and like, could you ever go back and work for like a bank? Because I had mentioned to him there's a particular bank that reached out to me. The headhunter called me a few weeks ago and said, look, you got to hear this. I mean, because I have a certain clientele, a certain book of business, right? So if I wanted to take my clients to a new firm, which if any of them are listening, that's not going to happen. Like you just said, if I had wanted to go work at a bank again, God forbid. You know, the banker says, he's like, all right, well, you know, we'll pay you like 100% of your trailing 12. That's your revenues that you earned in the last year,
right?
Basically what you earned. And yeah, that basically means I'd go there and I'd probably get a check for like 300 something thousand just to sign up with them.
Yeah, they'd buy your book.
And they'd buy the book. And, you know, I'd draw up an agreement saying, look, my clients I bring are mine. If I ever leave, they're mine. You know what I mean? You guys, there's a moratorium where you guys cannot contact them if I leave. You know, I'd have to, all that kind of crap they'd have to agree to.
Yeah.
But, you know, some one of my friends is, oh my God, that's a lot of money. Why don't you do it? And I'm like, well, because I don't want to wear a fucking suit and tie again.
Right.
You know, it's worth it. It's worth $300,000 to me not to fucking have to put a suit and tie on every day.
And fight traffic and deal with all the, I get it.
That's the worst thing. So like you just said, I could never, I don't know how much money it would have to be. But like if all of a sudden I said, nah, I'm done with comedy, fuck this, I don't want to do radio anymore, it's a bunch of bullshit, and I'm going to go just get that job again, could I tolerate? Could I actually find myself back in that environment tolerating that shit? No. No way.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No way. You can't. If you've gone on your own and dealt with flex hours, you know, a lot of people work on flex hours. That's basically what we do. We get things done when we get it done. Right, you allocate a certain amount of time during the day, and you say, "I'm going to get this stuff done." And I'm going to, like on Tuesday, I went out to see this. I went out to a prospect that I've been working for several weeks now. Really nice guy, really cool dude. And, you know, again, one of those people you meet, like I really want to work with this guy because I like him. You know, and finally the guy says, "Okay, boom, let's do it." You know, we're going to bring in $500,000 into the firm, and. That's basically like a $7,500, $10,000 raise this year.
Nice.
Now, and that's the kind of, if anybody's listening to this radio show and they're thinking about what they're going to do for college, you know, or what they're going to study in college, try to do something where you become, independent, where you have the ability to be a true entrepreneur.
It's nice that we're now doing messages for the kids.
Yeah. Because, you know.
Kids out there, stay in school.
Yeah. Stay in school and, you know.
Become independent.
Just, you know, try to do something. I used to give that advice to my daughter, stepdaughter. I used to say, look, the more schooling you get, the more choices you'll have in life.
True.
I don't care. My nephew says, I'm going to quit school. I have friends that quit school and they're doing fine. Yeah, okay. Good luck with that one.
Well, and here's the thing, though, and I will say this, because I think anyone that's in college now or going to college, you know, of that age, can't fully appreciate the value of having that freedom because they haven't been in the rat race. Do you know what I mean? They haven't done those jobs. They haven't, you know, and because I'm thinking about if somebody came to me and said, they'd be like, yeah, that must be nice. Would definitely not have the appreciation for it that I do now. Would not know at all what it feels like to be able to have that type of flexibility, especially at this stage in my life.
Now, don't you think, like, I believe this. I think that the only way that you could be independent like this is if you've done the time, if you've actually experienced that. Because you have to have incredible disciplines to have to do the type of work that we do.
Of course, yeah.
You know, I mean, I worked out of the house yesterday, and I was talking to one of my clients. Called me. He's actually a West Point grad, and he works for a headhunter for jobs. You know, he helps the military guys get jobs in the private sector. And it was funny because he was telling me the same thing. We both had one of those moments where I was talking with somebody who was a Hooplehead, a prospect. And I think I may have mentioned on the show, I was telling the story as I was talking to this guy, and I realized this guy was in a pissing contest with me. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I even said it right there. It was funny because in the bank, you're like, okay, sir, I'll get back to you. You're all diplomatic about it, but not this time. I basically told the guy, look, buddy, I don't want to get in a pissing contest with you. You're obviously a schmuck, and I don't have time for this shit. Good day, sir. Good day, sir.
I said good day.
Good day, sir.
You get nothing.
You get nothing.
You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized. So you get nothing. I love that movie.
That's awesome. And by the way, the remake was terrible.
Oh, my God.
Ugh.
I can't stand.
When you got the same
like shit all over my childhood.
When you got the same looking Oompa Loompa that you've had all this time, then, you know, it's not good.
No.
Any rate, so so it felt good, and he said the same thing. And this was interesting because he was talking to the West Coast, like people in Seattle and those areas.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of those companies don't want to hire military people. And I'm like, is that because they're like really like hippie type? You know what I mean? It's like Seattle folks, and they're really hippie types, and they're really against the machine. You know? Yeah. And he's like, yeah. So it's amazing how every job has its challenges, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you can't, not every job is just, oh, you know, do what you want.
I don't know of any job. I mean, I think, you know, for some of us, or for a lot of us that do comedy, we're kind of thinking that maybe that job is that job.
Right.
Because it kind of comes natural, you know, people who do comedy and do well at it, you know, it's not really like working. You know, you're getting paid to just go up there and tell jokes, you know, I mean, there's a work aspect to it, but for the most part, it's nowhere near what it, you know, what a, you know, quote unquote typical job is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so at any rate, hey, by the way, we got a couple of emails from the show yesterday regarding the penis transplant story.
Oh, we did. Oh, yeah.
And before the show, you and I were talking, a fellow comedian, very funny talk show host, Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. Has his own penis problem.
He had his own penal issue.
Yeah. Two surgeries on his penis. Two
really?
Dick surgeries.
Ugh.
I mean, can you imagine that? So what the whole, I mean, the story behind it is basically like, you know, his urethra just started closing up on him. And they don't know why. They don't know why it happened. They still don't know why it happened. But it just kind of started closing up. And he went to the doctor. And the doctor's like, you know, you need to have this operated on now. So they did this operation. And then they came back to him like, yeah, you know, it didn't quite work. So we need to do it again. And he kind of went on to say that it's a horrible, horrible process.
Oh my God!
Yeah, of course.
What makes your urethra close up, for God's sakes?
They don't even know. They don't know. I mean, if they don't know, I have no idea.
The only time mine's kind of closed up was after, you know, sex, and you got the gummies there.
Yeah, I mean, but that's like that's more like sealed shut.
No, I mean, his like, yeah, I mean, could you imagine?
It was like narrowing, I guess, and just kind of, you know, constricting.
Oh, that's terrible. So what do they, I mean, ugh, like, do you ever have to get a catheter put in, right? What is that when?
Yeah, catheter, yeah.
Ugh.
I've never had a catheter put in, but I have had a chlamydia test where they go through that same process, but with a cotton swab.
Right. I've had that done. They got to get a culture.
Yes, a culture.
They stick a Q-tip
basically
in your pee hole.
Yes. And basically in your pee hole. It's in your pee hole.
Yeah. And then they twist it around.
Uh-huh.
And you know, they might as well be like, you know, sticking a needle in your eye at that point.
It's like the guy grabs your junk and then like shoves that Q-tip in there like he's popping a Capri Sun. You know what I mean? Like that's pretty much the same procedure.
And it's always funny when they tell you what they're about to do. They're like, listen, I'm going to... Wait a minute.
You might feel some pressure.
Yeah.
You might feel some pressure.
Yeah, and it stings like hell.
You know what you feel pressure from? Like a bullet passing through your skull. That's a lot of pressure there, too.
Yeah, that's pressure.
Yeah, there's pressure.
And it stings like hell. So while we're still talking to the kids out there...
try not to get chlamydia.
Yeah, try not to catch a clap.
Yeah.
I remember. So you went there thinking you had it. Is that what you got tested for?
They tested because they thought I had like mono, and they couldn't really figure out what I had. So they were like, you know, I remember I was young too. I was like in my 20s, and I went to the emergency room because I was like really sick, and the guy was like, my dad was in the room with me, and he was like the physician was like, he's like, have you had oral sex lately? And I kind of like glance over my dad and I look back at the doctor. I'm like, giving or receiving?
Yeah.
He's like, giving. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, all right, we're going to test you for chlamydia. I'm like, okay. I didn't have it. That time I didn't have it.
That time.
I did have it another time.
Yeah, I had something. I remember the first time I was young because I still lived at the house with my mom, my parents. And I didn't know what the hell happened. I went to the bathroom. I noticed there was something in my underwear.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And for those of you who are not, you know, if you're a little squeamish, you may want to cover your ears. But when you have a STD of some sorts, usually you have a discharge out of your penis.
Correct.
And when that happens, if you never knew what it was, it scares the shit out of you.
Yeah.
So I had older siblings, so I'd go to my brother, go, hey, what the fuck is this? And he goes, you got the clap. And like, what the fuck's that mean? Yeah, you know, then I'm allergic to penicillin, then you got to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And you got to go through all that shit. But that's scary, you know. I mean, you don't know. And I told the story on the radio show once before where I went into the doctor when I finally started going to the doctor again. This is like when I was in my early 20s. And the doctor, was an Indian lady, and she got a blood test. And I went to go through all that, and she goes, "Have you had a lot of sex? You have a lot of sexual partners?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Fuck yeah, Doc. High five.
Look at me, Doc. And and she goes, oh, did you use protection? I go, no, not always. And she goes, well, you know, and she started scaring the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, and I almost passed out. I get in that cold sweat when I started thinking about all these whores. And I thought, oh my God, I'm gonna fucking die here. And then next thing she asked me, she says, dude, so you smoke? I admitted I smoke pot. And she goes, You want to die of a heart attack? And I'm like, I don't know. Why is weed going up in price? What do you mean?
Yeah.
What the fuck's that mean?
Yeah, it's like you ever do one of those AIDS tests? You ever get an AIDS test?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like you got that 20-minute wait time in between like when you start it to when they give you the results, and you start just mentally cataloging in your head every girl that you ever banged without a condom.
Yeah, and then you're starting to think. You're like, oh, that one was dirty.
Yeah, that one was...
That was a nasty one.
Yeah, she had the needle hanging out of her arm. Shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. At the time, I didn't care that she slept with animals.
That's right. That's right.
But now,
she clearly told me that needle wasn't hers. She was holding onto it for a friend.
Yes. Yeah. She had excuses. Alibis, right. I should say.
I mean, but the sex was good.
Yeah.
But,
very hot. Yeah, she was very sexy.
I don't have the HIV.
Oh, my God. At any rate, so, hey, we had a lot.
We're glad to hear that Jimmy Kimmel's okay.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that worked out. They finally found. I wonder if they ever found out. Did the story ever say what happened? Why his penis was closing up on him?
No, he just told the story yesterday.
Oh,
he was at South by Southwest, and he was on a panel, and he told the story.
Wow, I was going to say maybe his penis got tired of hearing his jokes. Now, you like Jimmy Kimmel? Ever watch his talk show?
I have, and I do.
I like him. I think he's funny. I think he's a different. He's got his own style.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Now, I'm a little concerned that the replacement for Craig Ferguson is another English chap. Out of all the people in the States that we have over here that could be taking over a late-night talk show, they get another English twit to come in.
Just another example of foreigners taking our jobs.
That's right. I mean, where the fuck is, you know, where's Nader? Where the fuck is that guy right now? You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Have you seen the guy who's going to take over Craig Ferguson? You know, you think, okay, I'm going to be a talk show host. We always talk, like Perry Sack does late nighttime Miami, which is a local cable thing that they do down here, right? And there was times where the producers and stuff said, you know, would you want to do one? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I don't think I have the look to be a late night talk, you know, whatever, a talk show guy. You know, I got the skills and I can interview and that kind of stuff. But, you know, but then you see a guy like this, a chubby, like, English lad, you know, a porky little fella. And he, I'm like,
fat too. He's foreign and fat.
Yes.
This is disgusting.
He's P2.
P2.
Or I should say F2. I was thinking fat foreign. Like P-H-A-T. Foreign and fat.
Foreign and fat.
Yes. Now, if he's F3, foreign, fat, and funny, well, okay. Who knows what that could lead to. I don't know. I'm just sick of this, and I love late-night TV. I always grew up on it. One of my fantasies was to be a late-night talk show host. You know, I think that would be a fun gig.
James Corden is that guy's name.
James Corden, yeah.
I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah, look at him. It's kind of like looking in the mirror, perhaps, isn't it, John?
I was just going to say, you know, I have a very similar build.
You got a similar facial structure to this cat.
Yeah, we do. Well, he's got. I think he might have bigger jowls than I do.
Yeah, he does. He looks like he's storing shit nuts for the winter.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, well, good luck to him. Let's see what happens to this. I've said on the show I don't like Seth Meyer, but I did give him another chance. I watched it a little bit in the beginning of the week and last week, and it was okay.
I think he's funny. I think he's a very talented guy.
I think he's funny, and I don't know. Sometimes he comes off a little too staged. I don't know. But I gave him another chance. I actually liked it better, and I don't know. Good luck to him. Hey, by speaking of stages, you and I shared a stage on St. Patrick's Day.
We did,
at,
yeah.
Marina 84, a open mic contest, which when I walked in there, I thought, oh, there's people here. Well, it's St. Patrick's Day, you figure. But then I started, on the drive up, my wife and I was saying, I wonder how good this could be. We're going to do a comedy show on St. Patrick's Day in a bar. And all my thoughts came to reality when I walked in there and saw people just talking, and some lady was on stage talking comedy, and nobody was paying any attention to her.
Yeah.
Will Lopez walks up to me and goes, this is the worst shit I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, well, I guess Will was nice enough to walk the crowd when he started fucking with him.
He did walk some of the crowd, but in his defense, that was the loudest table that walked.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, it's like, you want to keep those people just because it's people and they're not even paying attention, or get them out of there so the people who are paying attention can hear.
Because once they left, it was a little more, you know.
Absolutely. People started paying attention because honestly, you could hear those people were so loud. But the women at that table were so hot.
Right.
So I almost didn't mind that they were so loud.
Right.
Like, I just wanted to watch them talk. The women, not the guys that were at the table. I could have done without the guys. But the women, I mean, and there was like four of them. And it was like, and I'm talking about like really like just empirically smoking hot.
Well, you haven't gotten laid in a while, so you're a little biased on your opinion.
But I think they were strippers because they were all wearing like they all had fake breasts. And they were all wearing very like loose revealing clothing.
Right.
Clothing that just normally like a girl wouldn't just wake up and be like, yeah, let's go to the bar and this is what I'm going to wear.
Sure.
You know, like really like stiletto heel. And just to, you know, just so the people can understand the bar that we were at, we're not talking about like a swanky high end.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like a road. It's almost like a truck stop bar.
Yeah, correct. Well, it's connected to a roadside hotel.
Yeah. It's actually called the Roadway Inn. If you ever stayed at a Roadway Inn, you know what I'm talking about. It's actually a notch just below a red carpet.
Right, red carpet or red roof?
Red roof. Well, red. What was the one there's actually a red carpet or red roof right next door to it, isn't it?
There was another hotel right next to it.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. You know, I felt bad when I first got there. Some newer comic that I recognized her from Fozzle's comedy classes or whatever their get together improv group.
Yeah.
The tall one. Now, is she gay? She had a look. Maybe she could, you know, been part of the LPGA.
I don't know. I've never met her. I mean, I saw her there.
Well, one of my last closing questions when I was on stage, like, do you let your man masturbate? And she gave me that look like, what do you mean, men? And
I saw that because she was sitting with that girl right up front.
Right.
And I had that same supposition that you did, that maybe she was gay.
Yeah, she had that look. You know, she looks.
And then you said that. You kind of directed it towards her. And I was like, that's probably not the right person.
Yeah, may not be the right person.
Yeah.
You know, that happened to me when I was at Homefield Comedy Club and Grill Valentine's Day weekend. You know, the late show Friday, which was a bunch of drunk people, is a terrible table of like 15 people that kept. Remember when I told you they were playing the musical chair contest?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the chick I asked her. I go, do you let your man masturbate? She goes, I'll watch my girlfriend masturbate.
There you go.
And then I sat down on a stool like, I don't believe you. Show me. And, you know, that was a weird night. But nevertheless, now here's the thing. I don't know if it's because I was like the third, the last person going up. And I had this, like my wife said, she goes, boy, they listen to you. And I said, well, you know, that's great. I mean, there's not that many people left. But, you know, I felt like they were actually listening.
They were.
Yeah.
And you got a really good reaction. I mean, you did well.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, because I was almost going to bail. I was almost saying, fuck, what am I going to do here? Because like, you know, on the show, I basically developed a new joke from the Alibaba story.
Right.
And I did all new jokes at my closing joke. But basically, I brought up all new premises and jokes, which there's a few in there that are keepers. Nothing better than going to an open mic, doing all new material, and some of it sticking. Some of it, hey, that actually got some laughs.
I had a similar experience like you.
Yeah? It wasn't that night, though, was it?
No. That's for those of you out there, I ate a big dick that night.
Well, here's the funny thing. It's the funny thing about something like that as a comedian. When you go to a bar, all right, when you're in a bar, I mean, Lenny and I talk about this, Perry. Well, we said, you know, six years ago, when I was starting comedy, I was a year into it, 2 years into it, there wasn't that many open mics, wasn't that many things, so you had to go do these one-nighters or these bars, right, that did comedy night, and it's obviously not like you're performing at the Improv, you're in a fucking bar.
Yeah.
There's TVs, there's distractions, there's people talking, you know, and it's a terrible gig if you're a comic, but if you're an up-and-coming comic and you want to get your, you know, you want to develop strength, you know, you want to develop, you know, some ability to catch an audience, that's the best place to go.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what I described? We were having this conversation outside, you know, that night, and I said to somebody, I used the analogy, I said, you know, when a Major League Baseball player is warming up to head to the plate, he swings two bats.
Right.
It's two bats to warm up, because then when he swings the first, you know, just the one, it's a lot lighter. And that's what that, you know, those nights are like.
My father, since I played goalkeeper in soccer, and I'm only 5'9", my father used to have me do two things. I used to jump in sand.
Yeah.
So we'd go down to the beach, or there's parks that had like the volleyball things, and yeah. I would do like I don't know what you call them, like squat jumps in sand. You know, that you would just bounce in sand for a minute.
Sure.
You know, and then of course the other thing was I used to wear ankle weights. I used to put ankle weights on my legs, you know, on my ankles, whatever, and I would jump and I would do exercising the whole day of the game. So if I was going to go play a game, I'd wear ankle weights, and then just before the game, I would take them off.
Right.
And it's amazing when you take them off, you feel like you feel like, you know, Mercury. You feel like you're floating through the fucking air, like you got wings on your feet.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Like you're twice as strong.
That's right. You feel less resistance. You feel like, wow, because, you know. And it was just weird. And I was still surprised. I won't mention his name. One of the veteran comics went up and literally did his act. I kept thinking to myself, what the fuck is he doing?
I know exactly who you're talking about. Right. I thought the exact same thing.
And he came up to me after. He's like, this is bullshit. I go, dude, what? You know, I told him, I said, why the fuck would you do your act in here?
Yeah. Try out some new stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky because I came prepared. And you know, sometimes I won't go to an open mic if I don't have new stuff. I'm like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go up and to just do my old stuff at an open mic. But, right. You know, so I had a nice little list of stuff to go through. I just can't believe, and as a matter of fact, I have a new agent, new representation that's going to be handling me. And he called me, he says, can I call you? And I said, I'm about walking in this open mic. And he says, oh, is it a bar? Is it a club? No, it's a bar. And I sent him a photo of the inside. He goes, yep, I guess it's a night for all new material. I go, you got it. And that's the best thing you could do when you go to a club like that. You got to, you know. You just got to sit there.
So you work it out. That's, you know, you don't work out stuff at the Improv.
No. And the problem, and sometimes when you have an open mic like that, it's good that if you want to work on crowd work, you just want to be, you know, work on your improv. You know, you could do that.
Right.
But that room was not a room to do crowd work.
Well, the crowd the problem with that place is the way it's set up. I mean,
right.
The crowd's 25 feet off the stage.
Right.
So even trying to get, you know, to talk to somebody in the crowd, you can't hear them coming back to you. You know, so it's like, hey, what's your name? What?
Huh?
You know, yeah, it just doesn't work in that way.
And that's something else I'm always amazed. You ever see a comic, especially a newer comic, they go up on stage and they'll ask questions of the audience where the audience is not participating.
Right.
And they'll continue to ask questions of the audience. I was at an open mic a couple months ago and I told, I couldn't take it anymore. I go, stop asking fucking questions. Just stop.
You're probably such a pleasant audience member.
Well, you know, it's funny. My wife says sometimes, too, when I go to an open mic or something like that, if somebody's just horrible, you know, I'll be like, oh, you know, I can't hide it. I'm like, oh, this is, you know, and it's not nice. My wife's like, stop it. You know, you're being an asshole.
Right. Especially being a comic, you know what I mean? Because you know how hard it is to get up there.
Right. But, you know, there's, you know, and I don't know. There's some folks that, now, again, I when you see a new comic going up, you give them kudos or just trying.
Yeah.
But then you get, I lose my patience with people that have been doing it a while, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, there was somebody else there that night, I'm not going to mention his name, that I've known him now, I've seen him doing comedy now 2 or 3 years at least, that I remember, and he's still doing the same shit. Matter of fact, what upset me that night, he was doing other people's jokes, thinking it was funny, like, hey, this is so-and-so's joke, hey, this is so-and-so's joke. But he wasn't saying that.
I might have been outside, I didn't see that.
Yeah. The man in black, that's what I'm going to tell you.
The man in black.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have to really think about it.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you on the break. But the bottom line is that, number one, he's doing the same shit. And I'm like, and I was talking to a guy, working on a week run now. We're really working on this Florida run. Real excited that there's a comedy show once a month in Miami at the Comedy Inn. It's a nice run room over there, very professionally done. And I got to speak to the gentleman who runs it. And we're going to be, you know, putting our heads together to putting some things together. We're real excited about that. And one of the things he said about local South Florida comics is a lot of comics that are working comics, but they never change their act. They have the same fucking act. They don't, like, ever write new material.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, when I see an open micer or somebody who, again, the definition of an open micer is somebody who does comedy at open mics exclusively. And they're still doing the same material. Like, when do you drop a joke? When do you say, okay, nobody's really laughing at this? These jokes aren't getting me anywhere. What should I do next?
Right, especially if it's not working. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you've got 5 funny minutes and you're leaning on, I'm not saying you should, but at least it's funny. At least, you know, you get some reaction. But if you're you know, you've got 5 shitty minutes and that's all you're doing, okay, right. you gotta write some new stuff.
You gotta come up with something different.
Yeah.
And that's why I was happy that night, because there's some new jokes I want to try to learn. New types of jokes, you know, like topical, like news type bits, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like that could work. You know, part of, like, when I start headlining, I want to maybe think about getting the old PowerPoint presentation machine, the focus machine.
Uh-huh.
Putting a screen up behind me and putting up some photos and doing the old, you know, talk about the photo.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like, it's a big part of what I used to do. You know, when I started doing comedy, I would do that. I would take a photo and I would talk about it, and, you know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's fun. It just adds, you know.
Seems a little dangerous. I mean, you know, it's sort of doing a live demo, you know, like, so much stuff can go wrong.
Right.
The machine doesn't work, you know what I mean? Like, you can't have power. It's not hooked up right.
Well, that's the big thing. And, like, again, I hate having to carry shit around with me. You know what I mean?
Got to travel with it. I mean,
it's just ridiculous. So it's bad enough that with my Family Feud bit, I got to bring my iPod to play the music for the Family Feud and the noises and shit. You know, and then sometimes, we can't hook up the iPad. You got a DVD or CD? I'm like, no, I don't got a fucking CD. So it's good to have both. And then you have to make sure the person runs it right. All this crap.
Do you have a Kasingle? Do you have a Kasingle?
No.
No. You can't put a cassette back there.
A cassette. Cassette.
A cassette.
You mean like an old cassette player?
Yeah, it was a joke. You're not going to have a CD or a DVD, but you have a cassette. Like,
yeah,
he's going to never say that.
Got a fucking 8-track player?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A reel-to-reel?
Yeah, exactly. Set up the film projector.
Right.
I'm going to do my act. Any rate. We're going to take a break here, by the way, on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Lenny's going to be joining us. And again, I want to thank the old reliable John Levine for joining in today in the first part of the show.
The old reliable.
That's right. John won't be here next week. He's actually going to Canada.
I am. I'm taking off. I'm
very excited.
The Great White North.
The Great White North. And very good. Yeah. That's awesome. I've never been there. So have a good time in Canada.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Canada. Anyway, that's all I know from the National Anthem of Canada. But we come back. Lenny Travis, join us again. Thanks, John Levine, for joining us here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
See you later.
And we'll be back with stories and more right after this. We'll be right back.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's Dougie Almeida, and it's Thursday morning here on the WEI Network. And welcome back to the show. And of course, joining me on the line here in the studio is Lenny Travis.
Yeah.
What's up, man? How
you
been?
You survived St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I did. You know, I was just telling John Levine was just with us the first part of the show, and we did an open mic. Remember when we used to do... where you had the Wise Guys show over there on 84 by 7, I-95. Remember we used to do the Wise Guys show out there?
Was it the Roadhouse?
Yeah, remember like the Roadway Inn?
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be Sports Zone 84 or something like that.
Right, right,
now
right.
It's called Marina 84, and John Levine runs an open mic contest there every Tuesday. So I was telling her...
You had it on St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, that was my concern, right? Like I was asking my wife and I were driving there on Tuesday night. I'm like, you know, I wonder how this could go, being an open mic at a bar on St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
But as we just told all the listeners, a lot of people went up and struggled and battled. And
was it full?
Not really. There was people there. There was a crowd of people that are hanging out drinking on St. Patrick's Day. And our friend Will Lopez walked them by saying, "Look at you fuckheads, you know, coming here to get drunk." Yeah. And then they left shortly after. But... I did what I would do. I just did a bunch of new jokes. You know, I wrote down a bunch of new jokes I'm working on.
Who won? Do you get cash?
Well, it's a $100 prize, and the finals are in 2 weeks.
So it's not like 100 every night.
No, every couple weeks they have a final, and then whatever. You know, I made it to the finals last time, but I couldn't make it because I had a gig on that Tuesday. So I'm like, all right, we had the Starlight Lounge with Bob Levy that night, so... couldn't go to that, but
that was some weird gig.
I was happy that my
5 years ago, I think.
Yeah, remember, and we had it for it was when LeBron. It was basically around the same time LeBron came.
Yeah, but we were there when they announced he was going to Miami.
Yeah, you remember?
So that must have been 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, you remember? And it was great because I think we were in the middle of the NBA playoffs or something was going on, or the football. Or I don't remember what the fuck it was. And we decided that, you know, we're going to, instead of doing a real show, we were just going to, like, at halftime, we were going to do the show. Remember? We ended up everybody did like 4 minutes. We just ran up there and it actually worked out. But, you know, these venues, nobody has a fucking budget. You know, I had somebody else recently call me and they want to do comedy. Matter of fact, remember Santino from the New York Comedy Club?
Yeah.
You know, he actually contacted me about maybe doing comedy at a Platforms. The nightclub.
Really? That place?
Yeah, on Thursday night. So we're reviewing that. And I'm still waiting to hear. I was supposed to hear back from Meatball Room confirming the budget that we had for Mike Lawrence on May 1st.
And who's Mike Lawrence? He sounds familiar.
Mike Lawrence, comedian out of New York, originally from Florida. Been on Conan and Comedy Central. He's scheduled. I have him down along with Dave Siegel to perform at Meatball Room on May 1st. And I sent them the contract because I'm not going to get bit again. You know, last time they canceled on Levy.
Yeah.
2 weeks before, they canceled on fucking Joey Medina, who's going to be here next week.
Why would they cancel? They just didn't want to do the show there?
They other events. They had like another private party that wanted a band, and they said, sorry, we're not going to do that. I'm like, all right, well, since you guys want me to get really good acts, you guys want me to get top comedians to come down, you know, I can't do that with 2 or 3 weeks' notice. I have to get these people a few months in advance, right? So if I'm going to do that, you guys got to sign a contract. If you bail at least 60 days before the event, you owe me half the budget.
If you want, yeah, absolutely.
You know, that way,
I'm sure,
you know,
that he wasn't into that, though, right?
Yeah, he was. But the problem was, the budget I asked for was X amount of dollars, and it was about 20-30% more than I've charged before. And he's like, "Well, I can't do that." And like Peter Leonard was telling me, you guys just paid $2,500 for a band, you know. That brings the same crowd we bring. So it's not even half that.
So he spent $2,500 just to bring a band in,
right? And it's not like they brought in, you know, Aerosmith. You know, they brought in a cover band.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know what I'm saying? And meanwhile, I'm bringing in comedians that have been on The Tonight Show. I'm bringing in nationally known comics, and you're going to squawk about, you know, $700-$800.
Are you kidding? That's a riot.
And anyway, I'm supposed to find out. Yesterday, he hasn't contacted me back, so I'm supposed to get an answer. And if I don't, then I got to deal with that bullshit, you know, dealing with that crap.
So there were no crazy things on St. Patrick's Day?
No, it was fun. We had a. I'm really glad my new joke. I said, can you imagine? I got to imagine. I brought up Serena. Have you ever see Serena Williams lately? I said, I got to imagine anybody she dates must be going deaf. That or he looks like an MMA fighter. You know?
Oh,
hey, man.
I know.
Hey man, you an MMA fighter? No, I'm dating Serena Williams. What'd you say? Anyway, it went well, and some new jokes, and that was always a good part about that. And, of course, didn't get drunk. I'm at that point, Lenny. I'm really weaning away from the drinking.
I thought the last time I got drunk, it was like, since I was so not used to it, but when I got home, it was totally unpleasant.
Yeah.
Like, the bed was spinning, couldn't fall asleep. I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess you get used to it, but, like, I was really kind of drunk. And I got home and I went, this is terrible.
Yeah. By the way, isn't it amazing? I just had somebody, I have a show coming up, right? Or I should say yesterday, before the Wise Guys show. I had a comedian text me, says, any room for a guest spot tonight? Look, do not fucking contact a booker the day of the show and ask for a fucking guest spot.
I mean, unless it's like Bobby Slayton.
What?
Is it someone that big?
No, it's a local comic, and this is like the third or fourth time this person's done this to me.
Doesn't Peter Lender know that's not what I... Well,
Peter Lender keeps bugging me about doing guest spots, and I've told him, I said, Peter, you are not a strong comic, okay?
Oh.
I mean, is that, I know, when you know somebody well enough, you should be able to tell them that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not like he's not filthy.
I give him an A for effort.
A for an effort. I love the guy, but...
I would give him like 5 minutes.
Ugh.
Well, just because he does me a lot of favors.
Okay. I'll have to put that in the equation then.
Yeah, if he wasn't the guy who could get favors for me, you know, then it would be like, well, you know, well, what am I doing here?
Well, I didn't think you needed those favors anymore. I thought you quit.
No,
those favors.
I still feel like, you know, sometimes I need a favor for a friend.
Yeah.
Like someone will call me up who, I have two people that'll call me up and they'll go, please. And I'll go, let me see if my friend is still around.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
But it's like, it's maybe like twice a year tops.
Here's the thing. We've had an interesting couple days here, haven't we?
Yeah.
Lots happened in the last few days. Number one, Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, Federal Reserve Secretary, Chairman, spoke. The market on Wednesday was down about 160 points.
Went up 250.
And then closed
200
up.
200-point reverse.
Yeah, closed up 250 on Wednesday after she spoke.
I got it. Like, my opinion of this is, eventually, this is all going to end very badly.
Yeah, there's some people that are saying that. They're like, look, you know, we keep going back and forth, but eventually when the Fed says we're going to start raising rates, the market's just going to...
Yeah, if you just look at a chart of the NASDAQ, it's been parabolic for like 2 years, and anytime you see, you know, it's supposed to go up, even if it goes up at 45 degree angle, that's kind of unhealthy, but it's not even doing that. Then if you put a chart of the NASDAQ in, it's going straight up basically for the last 2 years. Eventually, you know, something's going to have to happen, and it's going to cause a massive correction.
Well, let's see what happens. You know, a guy like me who's taking in money, yeah, never wants to hear that.
As long as, even if there is that correction, the odds are it won't be, it'll just be that. It'll be a correction, and then people will gradually get back in again. But you can't just keep going up like, it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, well, you know, seek financial advice, folks. That's what you got to do. Don't, reading Money Magazine is not going to answer your problems.
Nah.
Right? Just because you read the Investor's Business Daily doesn't make you a fucking genius, okay? That's like reading a joke book and saying, I'm a comic. You know, it just doesn't happen like that. Anyway, so that's gone on financially. That we got that looming. And then, of course, we had another terrorist attack in Tunisia.
Yeah, this one looks bad. It's like 20 people dead.
20 people shot at a museum in Tunisia.
Can you imagine that? Oh, look at that. There's a guy with a gun. I wonder what display that is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's alive!
That's why, you know, you got to, again, you got everybody, you must be diligent when you're out in public. I don't care where you're at. You know, I mean, don't keep from going out. Don't be like a scaredy cat sitting in the house. I can't go. Someone's going to, you know, you got to live your life. But at the same time, you know, you got to be leery of these things. Just be careful.
You know, at first it didn't sound like that many people were killed. All of a sudden, one of the headlines goes by and says 20. And I was like, whoa.
Right.
That's more than Columbine.
That's right.
Yeah, the first terrorists stormed iconic museum.
The first stories are basically that, like you said, like six or eight people were killed, of which two of the gunmen were killed, and a security officer, right?
I wonder if this was jihad or?
Well, it definitely was extremist. Two gunmen, by the way, two gunmen were captured following that deadly. They caught two of these pricks. Two of the gunmen involved in the attack on the popular museum in Tunisia on Wednesday, which left 21 dead, including 17 tourists.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it says the recovery in the, it's the birthplace of the Arab Spring. So I think it may have had something to do with something there.
Yeah, the gunmen had opened fire on the National Bardo Museum in Tunis earlier Wednesday. Authorities said at least 21 people were killed, including 17 tourists. At least 21 people were wounded, according to the news. Tunisian Prime Minister Habib Assid had said earlier on Wednesday that two or three other gunmen had escaped and were possibly at large.
Now this is actually hilarious. Tour guide Walid Ben Shaki said he was accompanying an Italian group of tourists who stepped off the bus when an armed man in plain clothes randomly started firing. He said, "Today I put an end to my guiding career."
I'm going to start selling Amway.
It is official. I put in my papers. Really? Well, what are you, the mass killing, or was it something else? No, it was that.
Yeah, the tourists were from Poland, Italy, Germany, and Spain that showed up at that tourist attraction.
Polish tourists who walked up to the gunman thinking it was a display.
Yeah, they thought they were lighting a cigarette for him. An Italian foreign ministry official says three Italians were among those killed in the attack, and another six were injured, while Poland's foreign ministry announced, "We can't count. We think it was three, whatever comes after two." Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos confirmed on Twitter that two Colombian citizens were among the victims of the attack. "And my cousin's going to fucking kill you."
It does say that no group has claimed responsibility for the attack, but thousands of Tunisians have joined ISIS in Syria.
You know, it seems like this group, and the news we've heard out of ISIS, two things. Is one is that, you know, in Iraq, the forces in Iraq, which are, they're saying, they're a little leery because they feel like they're being strategized by military leaders from Iran. But they've been pushing.
I heard they were getting their ass kicked.
Well, recently they were winning over Tikrit, which is a city in Iraq.
No, like they were getting bounced, like ISIS was getting bounced out of Tikrit.
Right, like exactly.
Yeah, by Iran and Iraq together.
Right, together. They're saying there was like loyal forces to Iran, some of their special guard. You know, don't you picture when you see Iranian special forces, you picture some guy running around with like a camouflage like turban.
Yeah. The turban gives it away, buddy. Yeah. Really? Even I painted it green.
Yes.
Nah, still gives it away.
My turban's made of sand.
See how the red sticks out when you start bleeding? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the big concern is that people are worried now that Iran is trying to take over the Middle East.
Yeah, they've been saying that forever.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, let them have it. What is there? They're never going to take over Saudi Arabia. You know, they're never going to really take over Iraq.
Now, that's a question. Can they? Because they're really mounting around it. They're, you know, they're getting other, you know, through Syria and stuff like that. And, you know, and they're working at it. And, you know, they're in the United States with this fucking agreement. You know, they're talking about this nuclear agreement that everybody still is at odds about. And Netanyahu was reelected. Everybody leading up to the election in Israel, they thought, oh, Netanyahu's out. He's not going to get the votes. And then last minute, oopsie.
Yes, and now you got him. They're never going to touch Israel. Yeah. You know, everyone says that Obama didn't call to congratulate Netanyahu. Doesn't matter. What do you think? Israel, if anything happened to Israel, the United States wouldn't jump in there? Both the Republicans and the Democrats get too much money from Jews.
It's all about the money.
It's funny when you hear the Republicans, you know, talk about, we have to help the Jews. They hate the Jews. Republicans, rich Republicans.
Right.
They don't like Jews.
Is that?
You know, they won't live next to them. They won't go, you know, they're not allowed in the country club.
Really?
But they like using it.
That's news to me. I didn't know Jews weren't allowed into certain country clubs.
Oh, yeah. It's restricted. That's the old joke.
Jews
are right up there. Jews are one step above the blacks.
Really?
That's why Jews and the blacks get along so well.
Really? They do?
Eh, not so well.
It's not like you see a bunch of like Jews and black guys hanging out in the corner. What's up, homie? Well, how are you? I'm fine, thank you.
You know, these guys like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity are like, you know, I support Israel as long as none of those Jews come to my country club.
Well, you know, it's interesting what's going on over there. That's all I have to say. And then, like, nothing happened. I guess there was another shooting here in the States. It wasn't in Arizona or something like that?
Well, there was one in Stockton, California.
Right.
And Arizona. Yeah, Arizona. There was two of them.
Just people going around crazy, shooting people up.
Yeah, it's funny. I read on, I was looking at something Mike Panzeca posted, and he goes, you really think if you have stricter gun laws that the criminals are going to follow this?
Yeah.
You go, yeah. What is stricter gun laws going to do to some guy who wants to take a gun and start shooting people? If we had stricter gun laws, well, you really think that guy? I want to go on a mass killing spree. Oh, wait, it's against the law.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, this country will never change the gun laws. I mean, there's been talk about how ammunition has become so expensive.
Yeah, they were talking about that thing about the armor-piercing bullets. They didn't want to ban them, and they're trying to ban them. And what does a hunter want with an armor-piercing bullet?
Well, you know, listen, I have in my AR-15 rifle.
You got some.
I've got four clips.
Break them out.
I've got four clips loaded. I have in it right now, if I go into the closet and reach it, I have the armor-piercing bullets in it.
What's the purpose of that?
Well,
in case the guy's got a vest?
Yeah, in case somebody, house raid and somebody's got a vest or, you know, I'm not going to, can you imagine shooting somebody, they don't go down, they shoot you? Fuck, if I could just use a different bullet.
Will the armor-piercing bullet go through a vest?
Yeah.
I guess that's in the title.
It depends, but it's definitely going to knock them the fuck down. And then again, you don't want to, like, you know, see it bounce off their chest like Superman, and then they, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that actually happened with the bank robbery in California years ago.
Remember that?
And the bank robbers came out, and they just shot him, and the guys just stood there like Frankenstein and shot back as they were taking rounds.
Yeah, he had the AK-47, right?
Yeah.
Shooting at people in the street. He was fully armored. It was almost like they reenacted that in that one scene from I think it was Lethal Weapon when they were trying to shoot
that guy.
He had the flamethrower or something like that.
Mel Gibson.
But so I have those. I have that. I have I have two clips filled with regular ammo, and I have two that have the real bullets.
So you're set.
Yeah, and, you know, if shit happens, if shit hits the fan, I'm ready. And I think
you're right. I would, now that I think about it, if, let's say I got my armor-piercing bullet, I hear some noise, I come in, there's a guy in my house. I put two shots in him. The last thing you'd want to see is the guy still standing.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you're like in a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha.
Ready to go. This dickhead. You shoot five shots and he's still standing and you walk up to him.
Yeah.
About that dickhead line.
Yeah. You know, that's a term of endearment where I come from.
Would you wait right here for a second? I got the armor-piercing bullets in the garage.
I need to reload. Do you mind? Give me a few minutes. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. I don't know. So, I mean, listen, we're in a day and age where to this day people still ask me, why do you carry a gun? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, just look what happened today.
You know, chaos is crazy. I don't want to be a victim.
It was even something sicker. Some Hispanic guy stabbed 3 kids, like ages 1, 5, and 10.
Right.
I think that was on our side of the country. And I was like, why did this guy do this? And the kids all died.
Now, were they related?
Not yeah, the kids, they were all in one family, a Burmese family. And the guy looked Hispanic. It was right on the cover, like right on Yahoo. One of the first things said, man stabs 3 siblings, you know, to death. I was like, what the hell? Doesn't anyone take Xanax anymore?
I'm telling you, man, the world is getting crazier. People are fucking losing it. That's the whole thing. You know, I read a report yesterday in the show that, you know, scientists have proven that 4 of the things that have proven now that we're at the end. Deforestation, you know, lack of... I mean, look, here's a big thing. People, you know, for the last 2 or 3 years, I've been saying water's the next oil, right?
It is in California.
Yeah, well, you know, this is an interesting story. Nestle's, you know, the company Nestle?
Yeah.
They want to privatize water. Nestle's water privatization push across the globe. Nestle is pushing to privatize and control public water resources. Nestle's chairman of the board, Peter Brabeck, has explained his philosophy with the one opinion, which I think I extremely is represented by the NGOs who bang on about declaring water a public right. That means as a human being, you should have a right to water. That's an extreme solution. Since that quote, that's what he's trying to say. He's saying that water is not a right. You know, and that was a big question in Detroit, right? People weren't paying their fucking water bills, and they had to shut off their water.
No, absolutely. It's like, hey, you know, what are you doing? What, you got a house and you're not paying your water bill? That's what's going on in Greece right now. The Greek government wants to hand out cash to people who aren't paying their water bills, so they'll pay them. And then that's why Greece is going under, and that Germany's having a fit. They're like, what do you mean you're handing out cash? And like, that's what you do when someone doesn't have water. So now who's right?
Well, what do you do? I mean, listen, there's so many things that you used to be able to fix it. But now, you know, that fix it bag, that you know, that little bag of tricks like that Felix the Cat bag that has everything in it.
Yeah, I used to love that bag.
You remember that bag? And the shit's running out. There's nothing you can answer anymore.
My magic bag.
Yeah. By the way, tell Nestle that we have a right to water. Stop locking up our resources. At the World Water Reform back in 2000, Nestle successfully lobbied to stop water from being declared a universal right, declaring open hunting season on our local water resources by the multinational corporations looking to control them. For Nestle, this means billions of dollars in profits. For us, it means paying up to 2,000 times more for drinking water because it comes from a plastic bottle. Now in countries around the world, Nestle is promoting bottled water as a status symbol as it pumps out fresh water in high volume. Water tables lower and local wells become degraded. Safer water becomes a privilege only affordable for the wealthy. In our story, clean water is a resource that should be available to all. It should be something we look after for the public good to keep safe for generations, not something we pump out in billions of gallons to fuel short-term private profits. You know, this is a big thing. I know in California, they're building one of the largest desalinization plants.
Yeah, I heard that. I wonder how long that's going
to
take.
By 2016, it's supposed to be fully operational. But, you know, you got in California, you know,
the oceans are polluted.
Yeah, you got the nuclear waste, you know.
I guess maybe that water will just be for, like, you know, washing cars and plants, and I don't wonder if it'll be for drinking.
Well, that's what they do in Israel, right? Israel has actually the largest desalination water plant that they bring in because Israel doesn't have a lot of water. They have that one river that leads up into Israel. So they're taking water from the ocean, which is used
It's a genius move. You would think if every place had that, there would be no droughts.
Now, think about this, because as the ice melts and we have more water,
nice,
and we have sea levels rising and stuff, we should be able to drink it up.
Absolutely.
Right? Well, let's get it from the ocean
down here.
Yeah. Do like Superman did. Didn't Superman pull a big iceberg out of the fucking Antarctica and put it somewhere in Africa?
Yeah, and he did it so easily.
Yeah, we need Superman. By the way,
like a job for Superman.
This was a story right out of California. Look at California's emergency drought water restrictions. Sacramento, California, amid a historic drought, the California State Water Resources Control Board voted Tuesday to extend and expand restrictions on water use. Restaurants, for example, servers in bars, restaurants, and cafeterias can't bring out water with menus and silverware unless the customer asks for it. Some restaurants already have signs saying they don't automatically serve water because of the drought.
Yeah, I know. Even in down here, did you ever notice? They don't bring water out automatically.
No, we had our own drought a couple of years ago, right? And they even said, I remember that happened. They said, no, unless you ask for it, we're not bringing you water.
Right, right.
In hotels, hotel guests must get a chance to decline fresh towels and sheets. Business operators must place signs in the bathroom reminding them they have this opportunity to conserve. Now, I'm a good guy. Like I said, I want to serve save water, so I stopped masturbating in the shower. That was my first commitment. Number two, like when I go to a hotel, I use the same towel. I don't even want the room service lady to come in if I'm in there for two or three
days.
I just use the towels up. I don't need to wash them and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, I know. I no longer rinse my ass for like 20 minutes under the shower head.
Yes.
I mean, those days are done. I do like 12, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I take quick showers, man.
We have no water bill. I mean, you're in a condo?
Yeah, it's part of the maintenance?
Right.
Yeah. Number in lawns, local water departments have to limit how many days a week people water their lawns. The state standard is twice a week. Homeowners are also barred from turning on sprinklers on days when it rains and for the next 2 days after. Well, that makes sense. Leaks, if local water departments get wind of leaks in home and businesses, they must notify the customers. The rules don't spell out how, but the warnings can be included in bills or left on the door hanger.
You know, L.A., California is an absolute desert. The fact that they're even living there is like a miracle. And it's like, look, you guys are the ones that, you know, settled this place. They knew there was problems with water back in like the 50s and the 60s.
Now there's a conspiracy theory that says that there's part of the Illuminati that are building the underground cities and the Ozarks, which have figured out a way to channel a lot of the water from the Colorado that goes from the Colorado River that leads over to Vegas and all that shit.
Right.
That's
what Chinatown was about. The movie with Jack Nicholson was about the water.
Right. What? Where it was going into town?
Yeah, there was about water that was being taken away from the farmers and being routed into Los Angeles.
Oh, by the way, and speaking of that, here's another story. Matter of fact, there are some farmers that have decided not to grow, but to sell water back to the city. You hear about this?
Now say this again.
Some Northern California farmers not planting this year sell water to Los Angeles at $700 per acre foot.
Yeah, that's exactly what the movie was about. It was an amazing movie. Jack Nicholson was the star. I think it won more Oscars than The Godfather. It came out the same year as maybe The Godfather 2.
In Yuba County, the rice industry in the Sacramento Valley is taking a hard hit with the drought. Some farmers are skipping out on their fields this year because they are cashing in on their water rights. Many fields will stay dry because farmers will be doing what was once considered unthinkable, selling their water to Southern California. In the long term, if we don't make it available, we're afraid they'll just take it, said Charlie Matthews, a fourth-generation rice farmer with senior rights to Yuba River water. He and his fellow growers have agreed to sell 20% of their allotment to Los Angeles Metropolitan Water District as it desperately searches to add to its dwindling supply. You know, I went when I was in Vegas. Last time I was in Vegas, you go by the Hoover Dam, you see those fucking water levels just lower and lower.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
why don't they? They should build like the biggest plant that the world's ever seen, and all along the coast of Los Angeles, you know, California, and let them pump all the water in from the ocean.
You got to do it because, hey, listen, doesn't that make sense? We got water, we got sea levels rising, we got drought in half the country, And then the funny thing is, then you go to some of these other places, we've got flooding along the fucking Mississippi River.
I know.
You got
the
some
people in Los Angeles don't want to drink duty water.
Yeah. I mean, you got some parts
close
of the
close your eyes and drink it. So there's a little brown specks floating in it.
So what? Who so lives what? Forever anyway?
So it's a little radioactive with duty. It's water. Your lawn doesn't know the difference.
You know, I'm wondering when it's going to come down to it. Like, I'm starting to see more houses here in Florida that don't have lawns. Like, if you go to, obviously you go to Vegas, they don't have lawns. They have rock gardens, right? Because who's going to have a fucking lawn? You know, which makes it dismal. I hate when I'm in Vegas, it's just so fucking gray. I can't take it after a while. I'm like, I need color.
Yeah, Vegas is a desert.
But, you know, even in Florida, you think to yourself, if I just got rid of all my grass, you know, like we had to fill the pool up. You know, the pool, because it hasn't been raining, you know, if it doesn't rain, I got to fill up my pool every couple weeks.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, especially when if it's windy, a lot of wind and stuff like that.
I noticed that it really doesn't have, the rain does not last down here.
No. I mean, you know, we had a couple.
It may pour for like 20 minutes. Like in New York, it used to rain. If it rained, it rained all day. Sometimes it would rain for 3 days all day. Here, it could pour for 20 minutes, and then the sun comes out.
Exactly. It's like in Florida, everybody, the old story is, in Florida, if you live in Florida, you can look out your back window, it could be like a monsoon.
Yeah.
And then out your front window, it's nice, let's go play some kickball.
I've seen that. I've seen it rain on opposite sides of the street. Or the best, what's the best line? If you don't like the weather in Florida, wait like 20 minutes.
Yeah, and that's the only place in Florida that happens more than ever. Like that, it's most evident is in the Key West. If you're ever down in Key West and it rains, just hold your breath for a minute, and it'll turn. And next thing you know, it's sunny again.
It's a good time to put on your sunscreen.
Yes, load up, get it refigured out. You know what I'm saying? But this fucking water thing, I'm telling you, man. Like, what would happen? We're only a couple decades away of that, of mass moving. Like, people are going to have to move. People are going to have to relocate. Like, everybody lives in, like, your friends say, hey, you're going to move to California for comedy? I'm like, I'm not moving to that fucking desolate area. I mean, if anything, what the fuck? I mean, people are going to be like, there's not going to be any water left. I'm telling you, doesn't anybody see this? Do you think it's just drought? Do you think it's just a seasonal fucking thing? You know?
No.
This is an
ongoing. The funniest thing in the world.
This is the way it's going to be. You know, Florida may be under fucking water in 10, 20 years, and California is going to be dry as a witch's tit. Or it's cold as a witch's tit.
Cold as a witch's tit. But shit. I figure that's pretty dry, too.
That's got to be dry. I couldn't imagine that a witch's tit would be moist.
Yeah. Nice, moist.
What would be a good example? What would be a good analogy? Dry as what? Dry as dirt.
Dry as an old lady's. Well, you get the idea.
Yeah, we figured that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Dry.
It's dry.
Hey, did you talk about the Justin Bieber roast this week?
No, we haven't, by the way. But it was funny because when I was with Rich Voss last week, a week before.
Oh, yeah? What do you have to say?
He was writing. A couple comedians had hired him to write some jokes for that roast.
Really?
And I think there was another roast that he did for a charity.
Did he tell you if any of his jokes got on or what some of the jokes were?
I haven't spoken to him since, but I got to talk to him a couple things, too. He's going to be coming down to Miami. He's going to be performing at that Homefield Comedy Club
right
in May. And then he's going to be at the Comedy Inn in June sometime, which I may be opening for him there.
What's the Comedy Inn?
Comedy Inn is a room down in Miami, southwest Miami.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that.
And a nice venue. Matter of fact, the gentleman who owns it, I was just telling John earlier that I spoke to him because we're going to be teaming up, working together about putting our run together. You know, our week run down here, and we really want to, you know, put together something really good.
Was it a full weekend?
No, it's like a one night. It's like Friday night.
That's what I thought.
So if I, you know, I talked about a Wednesday. I'm trying to get, like I said, Thursday. I'm looking at a place in Boca. Starlight, which is, you know, it's a venue, right? I mean, it's not a great venue, but for a Tuesday night to make $150 for a headliner, $200, that's not bad, right?
No, not at all. You think they would give you that?
Yeah, I got that. I got that basically last time.
Right.
And, you know, we're working more because they were happy with that last show we did with Levy. And so that's a Tuesday. We got a Wednesday, Thursday. We're working on Friday. That would work. And Saturday in Fort Pierce or, you know, with the other venue with the Have Nots. So we got Tuesday through Saturday. And he's going to be working on a Sunday venue somewhere right. in the near the beach on Miami. So we're working on this stuff. And
did Voss tell you any of the jokes himself?
No.
He didn't say, hey, you think this is funny? Did you see, I have a thing if you want to hear some of them. These are the most brutal jokes from the Justin Bieber roast.
Which, by the way, yeah, let's hear them. But by the way, it's going to be airing on March 30th on Comedy Central.
Right. The dude doesn't even look like Justin Bieber anymore.
Yeah. Well, he's
like
all
Justin
buff.
Justin Bieber used to be a kid, right?
Right. Now he's all buff and shit.
Yeah, he looks like a freaky teenager. Like he, what is he, 20 now? Like, when I'm looking at this picture, if you would have asked me who this was, I wouldn't have immediately said, oh, that's Justin Bieber.
Right.
Like, he's sitting down in a suit on the set of the show, and I have no idea who this kid is anymore. Like, he almost looks gawky. Like, I remember him being like a little kid, right?
Yeah. Well,
Kevin Hart comes right out and says, we're going to give... Tonight we're going to give what his parents and the legal system should have done years ago to this boy. An ass whooping. This one, it was one of my favorite ones. Jeff Ross, of course, one of the funniest dudes out there. He goes, Selena Gomez wanted to be here, but she's dating men now. And then he adds... Is it true you were dumped by Selena Gomez because she grew a mustache before you? Also, Jeff Ross shaved his head.
Yeah, what's up?
I don't know. He's got the cancel. Krista Ella said, Justin Bieber, you have it all except love, friends, good parents, and a Grammy.
Krista Ella. Funny cat. Undateable is a TV show.
The funniest lines that this one, actually, you had a laugh at this one. Snoop Dogg comes out and says, Justin Bieber bought a monkey. He goes, that monkey was more embarrassed than the one that started the AIDS epidemic.
Snoop Dogg.
Then this is hilarious. Will Farrell comes out as Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
I mean, what a totally stays in character. And he goes, Justin Bieber, this kid has spunk, moxie, and a few other STDs.
Matter of fact, I understand that he came out. One of the jokes Justin Bieber had said was, nothing better than a bunch of has-beens coming out here and saying I look like a lesbian. Yeah, joking that I look like a lesbian. But he came out and apologized. And one of the things he did, he didn't just sit there and rip back at everybody, probably because he couldn't. And he said, look, I really wanted, I didn't really want to come off the way I have. You know, I'm a good dude. I just, And you got, listen,
look like a lesbian.
Anybody that finds fame out of nowhere, people that just find, like people that win the lottery that are millionaires, when they try to hang out in country clubs, they kind of stand out. You know what I mean?
I mean, I understand younger generation music, but there is no way that I'm missing something by never listening to a Justin Bieber song.
No, it's all autotone and shit. Come on.
I had a friend. Natasha Leggero, and there were a lot of rappers in this thing. There was a Ludacris, Snoop Dogg, and so she comes out, and Martha Stewart's on the panel, too. So Natasha Leggero goes, all these rappers on stage, and Martha Stewart is the only one that did jail time.
She's notorious.
And then Martha Stewart gets up. I heard she killed. Here was some Martha Stewart lines. She goes, you need to settle down and bring some balance to your life. Find yourself the right girl, but she's going to have to be someone special, someone on your level, someone powerful and rich, someone you could smoke a joint or engage in an occasional three-way with. Is that funny?
I thought that was just good advice.
Yeah. Oh, she goes, so Justin, my piece of advice is call me.
Yeah. Okay, Grandma. Thanks.
Yeah. Sit down. It said by the end of the night, Bieber was looking shaken up.
Yeah. It's a great idea for a roast, right? Who else? Who better to roast than him?
I know.
Well, we're looking forward to that on March 30th. But this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Lenny Travis.
Absolutely.
And we'll be back with just a little more right after this.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. This is Dougie Almeida. I'm here with Lenny Travis.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, this is the WEI Network and IRN Internet Radio Network, where we come to you Tuesday through Thursday, all new shows. And, of course, Mondays, Encore Mondays on IRN. And Fridays, Best of All Time, on IRN exclusively. So don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. And, of course, go to our website, wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. If you're new to the show and you want to catch up, boy, we got over 320-something episodes there for you. Real exciting, Lenny. We're trending over about 1,000 downloads a day, which is awesome. By the way, if you're also interested in advertising, most of our clientele are here in Florida. Most of our listeners in Florida, California, New York, Virginia, Chicago, and most metropolitan cities. So if you're interested, you can email me at alwaysdangerousdougie@gmail.com. Very inexpensive advertising to reach out. And, of course, we appreciate your guys listening. And if you have a business and you want us to talk about it, by all means, you know, maybe we'll work out a deal. We'll do maybe a first month free, and then we'll hit you up for cash, right?
Absolutely.
That's the way it works. Any rate,
like a meatball. Hey, have a meatball. Yeah. Where's my money?
You know, it's funny because we're talking about venues and stuff, and I actually have an agent. Somebody is looking to represent me now.
Nice.
Out of New York. And you know, it's one of the things I talked about. I said, look, I just really want to expand the show. You know, we want to get things going and get it to another level. That's my main focus. So we had that meeting. And so we may be getting to sit down and finally get to talk with some real people in terrestrial radio or, of course, on one of the satellite channels.
From all the Googling I do, I found a site called onairtalent.com. Like, remember that name?
Yeah.
And what it is, I've never like checked it out yet to see if it was legitimate, but it looks legitimate. It looks like an Indeed site, if you know where you find work. And then if you go to this site, like even if you're on your computer, go to it now. I think it's called onairtalent.com, all one word. There it is. They are giving you places that are looking for radio shows. Now, I technically really don't want to leave Florida, but they're all over. You're like, South Florida is a giant market, so every once in a while I'll check, and for some reason I haven't seen anything in South Florida, but you'll see an ad that says, like, it'll be in Phoenix, and it'll say, morning show wanted, and I go, that's what you have to do, and I've seen it, and it's in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, even in, like, the Carolinas, and it'll actually say that. It'll say, morning show wanted, right. Send your tape.
Nice. Well, and that's like one of the contacts at Satellite, and Sirius was talking about, is like, you have to be in New York if you really want to do a regular show here. You know,
I mean, that on Sirius.
Yeah, you'd have to come to the studio, and they wouldn't do it, you know, out of your home or anything. For the beginning, you'd have to go there and do it and all that stuff. And unless you have followers, it's, you know, again, it's, which came first?
Who's going to find you on Sirius? Yeah. You got lost.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. I think that's a big, it's a big thing. You know, things are changing. Content's changing. For example, when it comes to TV, like, you know, you and I are talking about, like, my wife has Apple TV. We have that in the house. You know, of course, Netflix.
You got Netflix?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Netflix is the best.
So, you know, we've been watching House of Cards. You know, it's just been a great show, and it's like, you know, we have our DVR, so it's not like some TV show's on now, we got to watch it, okay? But getting into the business, Sony has created the Cadillac of pay TV.
They're insane. Did you read this?
Yeah. Would you pay $600 a year for it? For those of you doing the math, that's just $50 a month. Sony has built the Cadillac plan of internet TV. It's big, it's shiny, and it's expensive. No. Sony launched its new PlayStation View streaming TV series on Wednesday, featuring a 55-channel bundle that includes shows from three major broadcast networks, although notably lacks ESPN. View comes along just...
How are you gonna be? That's like one of the main channels that I watch.
Exactly. View comes along just as the internet TV market has begun to take off. Dish Sling TV, one of the first over-the-top OTT bundles of channels to hit the market, reportedly logged 100,000 signups in the first month. Apple is also reportedly working on an internet TV service, which is the next...
Yeah, internet. Get your cable so you can get your cable over the internet.
Right. And that's the big thing. They're working on it this summer. I think it's going to be out this summer, the real Apple TV. We're going to work on that. So Rich Greenfield, media and tech analyst for BTIG Research, said View represented the most recent of many steps toward breaking the dominance of cable providers. Hey, anything's fucking great because my cable is expensive as shit.
And yeah, I bet you. Are you paying like $100 a month?
Wait, are you kidding me? Every few months, my wife has got to go through that negotiation mode. Like, look, we're gonna cancel our okay, we'll knock it back down to 200, whatever it is. It was almost $260.
You know, it's ridiculous. Like, I've seen the channels, and I go look over the movies. Like, the Movie Channel, Showtime, Cinemax are all, I think, $15 a piece.
Right.
So I would keep HBO. I don't know why, but for some reason, like, I just like HBO. And I would definitely ditch those other three channels.
Well, I like HBO. I would have HBO exclusively for Game of
Thrones. That's what I have. I have HBO, and it's fine. Plus, I get like four of them.
But I'd have...
So I get HBO, West Coast HBO,
right.
And then a couple of others.
They all come together. Now, again, it's all for the big thing about these channels. They're coming up like Netflix figured out with House of Cards. It's all about the exclusive programming. You know, it's almost the same thing like satellite radio, you know, with Howard Stern, and who knows if he's going to resign. But the content, the people that have come there, you know what I mean? The shows. You can't get, I started listening to Ron and Fez show, you know, and I think that's a good show. You know, our old friend Jeffrey Urien's on there. And, you know, it's a decent show. You know, I can't, like you said, Opie and Anthony. I'll be honest with you, my friends are on it. I can't even tolerate it.
No, it's funny. I'm listening to it. It was much better when Anthony was on the show. Like, he definitely added a lot. And I like Jim Norton, but Opie and Jim Norton, it's not as good as Opie Anthony and Jim Norton.
Right. There's a certain thing about the chemistry,
that guy
right?
is definitely missed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Opie, sometimes, Anthony, he wasn't a comic, but I know he went to college with Adam Ferrara,
right.
And he was a funny guy. And I heard he did go on stage a couple of times, and he could be funny. He was, Anthony was a million times funnier than Opie. And Opie was like almost like a straight man.
Right.
And, you know, definitely setting him up, maybe coming up with a funny line once in a while. So now I'll listen to an interview, and Opie comes across as, like, just not that good.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I've listened to it. I'm like, ugh, you know, I can't understand why there's so much obviously, the popularity of that show is the people that are on it. You know?
Yeah, he definitely does. He does, like, if he has Colin Quinn or Rich Voss on, I'll listen the entire time.
Now, Rich and Bonnie McFarlane have their own show on satellite radio now.
You know, it's like an inconvenient thing, and you can't look it up and get it. Like, they don't archive them.
Yeah, you got to hear it when it airs. It's at, like, Tuesday, 7 to 8 or something like that. A ridiculous
I wonder if he has a website where he has them archived.
Well, they also have their podcast, and, you know, my wife hates me. And
yeah,
I actually
a funny dude, Rich. Was.
Yeah, no, I gave him some tips because I listened to it one day because Max Mosquito was on there because when he was here, you know, when Rich was in town in the West Coast doing shows, and he had Max call on the phone, and it's like the old days of our show. Rich takes the phone, puts it on speaker, and holds it up to a microphone, and I'm like, so I messaged him. I go, oh, you got, and he's like, I don't know how to do this. So I got to how to do this. His wife's like, we can figure it out. He's like, I don't know how to do this. And I'm like, I told her, I said, Rich, all you need to do is get Skype on your laptop. And connect it to your fucking board.
His wife, Bonnie McFarlane, hilarious.
Yeah. So, that's where I talked to him about it. I said, you know, I'd love to get on one of those stations, whether it's Raw Dog, you know, or the Opie Channel, whatever. You know, you listen to our show, and I think, you know, you listen to it, it's funny as any other fucking show that's on there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't even, like I tried listening to Ron and Fez. I'd much rather listen to, our show. Plus, even, you know, the whole show during the week.
Right.
Is, you know, this show is much more listenable. I don't know if it's because I've been listening for so long, but I was listening to Ron Fez. I listened to him for a couple of minutes. I have to turn him off if they don't have a good guest.
Yeah, and you know, I would say that I listened to it. I listened to it because, again, what else am I going to listen to from like 12 or 1 or 2 o'clock when I'm driving? And I'm like, all right, so I listened to it the other day, and it was funny because Fez was, you know, he came out of his shell a little bit because he's a funny, you know, between the chemistry between him and Ron is better because if they, but they got to, it can't be all Ron. It can't be all Ron. They have to both talk. They have to both interject, you know. And by the way, Lenny, speaking of that, our listeners have asked that, you know, you've not been around that much.
Right.
And I said, you know, hey, Lenny's got domestic duties now. He's making money. He's got, you know, he's like,
I think this format, if we do a solid hour like this, because even like the last couple of, I would say even the last like month, like when Mike Kaplan was on, I could barely get a word in. And then it happened like with a couple other guests because it's just tough doing a radio three-way.
Right. Well, that sounded exciting.
But this is definitely better.
Yeah. Well, we got some work to do. We got a, you know, we got three new shows a week. Don't forget Tuesdays. Myself, John Levine, who's doing a great job, and Tim Hanlon, Minda, who's been here with Peter, but it seems like Minda may have to change her schedule around. So Peter Leonard, of course, which, you know, Peter is just a, you know, radio guy in himself. And, of course, Lenny on Thursdays.
You know? I saw an ad for that World Series of Comedy. Are you doing that?
I enter the one at McGurdy's coming up.
So what, do you have to go there just to do like 5 minutes?
No, it depends. You send in a submission, and then they put you either in the wild card where you're doing 5 minutes, or you're in the actual next round where you're
doing... Yeah, remember you mentioned the winning prize, it said, is 50 weeks of work.
Yeah, if you win the whole thing, the main event.
So that's hard to do.
Well, I mean, it's not that hard, but like a few of the comics and I have spoken... and I've voiced this on the radio show before, so I'm upset. But I mentioned to, you know, Joe Lowers runs it, and the only concern I have is this: it's the same judges, and you know, some of the judges have been known to pay a little bit of favoritism
to that favorite act
to their geographic areas, right?
But it's in Vegas, the finals, right?
Yeah, in September, which are I entered.
You would
that.
Think the first three guys would probably get a lot of work, so you don't even have to win.
Well, yeah, it's like that. If the goal as a comic is to get to the finals, that way all the bookers are there. You know, all the basic
right,
main
that's
judges
what I'm saying.
Are there.
If you could even get to the top five, I bet you could probably get 20 weeks of work.
Yeah, I mean the bit I've done in there, I've gotten work from it. You know, not even advancing to the finals or anything like that. I've gotten work from people seeing me there. You know, and that's always helpful. So I'm going to be I signed up for McGurdy's, which is in Sarasota. They have
now
a satellite.
Now you have to look at your video to get invited to McGurdy's.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure I'll go to that. And because I've been going so many years and I signed up for the one in Vegas, Joe Lauer says, okay, you got two free ones now. So I was supposed to go to the Looney Bin in Oklahoma because I've never been to that club and I thought that'd be fun. But the wife and I are going on our 10-year wedding anniversary cruise.
Right.
So I can't go to that one. So he put me in the one in Goonies in Rochester, Minnesota.
Yeah, that's a pretty decent gig.
Yeah, so I think that's something in the middle to the end of April.
But you got to go there for free, do the show.
Yeah,
and
you
got to
do it all there, and you know that's what it's about. That, you know, that's a dedication.
Yeah. What else could you do?
And then there's
Don't
a club.
Drive.
And then there's a club in Rhode Island. I'm trying to remember the name of it now, which I signed up for that. I switched from.
Or a Comedy Connection.
I think that's it. I think Comedy Connection. And they have one that's coming up in June or something, or May, I can't remember now. So I entered those, and I'll see it happen. I just got calls. I got booked in three dates with Bonkers, although I didn't get my headline spot, but I did. I'm going to be opening for our good friend Frank Del Pizzo.
He didn't headline you?
Not yet, but they contacted me, and they said, you know, Frank wanted you to open for him, but they're better paying gigs because they're out of the state in the casinos.
Oh yeah, where are the gigs?
Oh God, they booked me in Maryland,
in a casino in Maryland.
Yeah, and then the Latitude 360 places, which are nice venues in Pittsburgh and
in Indiana.
No, I'm not going to work Jacksonville because I'm doing Comedy Club of Jacksonville for the Yoders.
Could they pay you enough that it's going to be worth the travel?
Well, the bottom line is Frank and I are going to be like road warriors. You know,
you're going to drive to Maryland.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you drive from Maryland to Indiana.
No, Maryland to Pittsburgh, 2.5 hours and then home.
Maryland's only 2.5 hours from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But how far is Maryland? Like about 18 hours?
16 hours, something like that.
I guess if you split the driving.
Yeah, that. You know, and listen, that's kind of a fun. I'm at the point now where it comes to driving that it's not a big deal. It's almost like, you know, back, oh, my God, now if I'm
with two guys, if you split the driving, you can almost do four-hour shifts.
Yeah, and Frank's a great driver. Frank will drive for longer than that. Then, you know, if we switch, we'll switch. And he doesn't even, a few times I've gone on road trips with him in North Carolina, Virginia, he drove. He didn't give a shit.
Right.
And same with me. When I, you know, I'm at the point now, I'm in the car for 12, 14 hours, you know, as long as I stop, reload, piss, you know.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. You find a nice area. I'm stopping right here. I'm going to take a piss.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm going to just hang out here, stretch a little bit, relax, and get back in the car. Boom. You know, next thing, it's amazing.
You know, stay away from those truck stop hookers. But I don't have to tell you that.
Yeah, of course not. I don't want to have, you know, I want to have discharge.
Yeah, I know.
That's the worst.
It's good to think about, but yeah, you definitely stay away. It's like heroin.
So it's been a little bit like that. Hey, by the way, speaking of driving, here's a little story I want to share with you. Elon Musk, you know, the maker of the Tesla.
Tesla.
And SpaceX, right, runs both those companies, right? Basically, Elon Musk was recently, he's been very controversial lately with his comments, but Elon Musk says in the future, human-driven cars may be illegal.
Can you imagine that if, like, we'll be that old, that people will be like, what do you mean you used to drive?
Yeah. You've driven a car? Oh, my God.
I just see so many problems for these computer-driven cars. Like, if you think there's accidents now... Like, how is a computer-driven car going to avoid?
Well, if every roadway, highway, everything had certain electronic components, right, and sensors, you know, reading to the car, you know, you could see where it happened. Now, the real question is, if you can hack a computer, they already said that there's already been proof that people can hack a self-driving car.
Right.
So you can,
and I've seen them displayed. Like, we actually seen the people in the car, and you see where, like, they have someone walking off the sidewalk, and the car comes to a halt. First of all, the traffic's going to be at a fraction of the speed. That's like one of the bad things that's going to be about it.
But I mean, there's part of me that says, "Hey, it may not be too bad to get in a car, right, and not have to really give a shit." You know, like, I'm driving. I'm just
sitting basically, there. You get in the car and you read. It's like getting on a bus,
right? And you know, you put your program. You said this is where I'm going. The address is put in there, and it takes you there. But you know, it's bad enough. I don't know if you're like anything like me, Lenny. But when I'm a passenger in a car, you know, because you don't. It's one thing when you're driving. You know what's going on. You feel it. You know, if you know, like I drive fast. You know, I'm a really good driver. I'm a skilled driver. I've taken defensive driving courses. I've taken evasive driving courses for security work. I'm an excellent driver. Okay? So the problem with that is that when someone else gets behind the wheel, like i.e. my wife being Asian, you know, you get a little nervous.
Right.
You know, and my wife used to have a tendency of tailgating people, which I couldn't fucking stand. Like, I'll grab the handle thing when she gets too close. I'll press my feet up against the floorboard.
Right.
Signs. But, you know, sometimes it's almost like a trusting thing to have somebody else drive. Like, oh, God, you know, it's kind of hard to relax when someone else is driving. When I'm driving, I'm relaxed. I'm in control.
Right.
Maybe I have control issues. I don't know. Perhaps. But to get behind a wheel of a car where nobody's in it. And you know, it's kind of eerie. It's going to take some used to, you know.
Oh, yeah. And we're definitely going to be in our 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
So we're going to be the generation that's, you ever see these old people get into the cars? They're scared shitless.
Yeah.
Hello, driver. There is none. Help.
Elon Musk says the days of humans driving their own cars are numbered, according to him. The reason, he said, is advances in sensor and software technology will eventually make cars on board computers safer and better drivers than human beings wielding their own machines. The Tesla CEO shared his thoughts on the future of self-driving vehicles during the keynote presentation at the GPU Technology Conference in San Jose. In the distant future, he said, they may outlaw driven cars because they're too dangerous. Well, I think that's a little out far-fetched. If I'm going to be in a car that's self-driving, I need to have the, like, takeover mode. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got to have my foot on the brake.
Yeah, there's got to be a way to say, I'm taking over this fucking vehicle.
Not looking forward to that.
The future is not actually far off. You might think, Musk said, adding that he considers autonomous vehicles to be solved, be a solved problem, and that the largest issue is making the software and hardware reliable enough to conform safety standards that regulators will expect. He predicted regulators won't come on board until at least 2 to 3 years after self-driving cars become safer than human drivers and driven ones. Well, if you've driven in Florida any bit.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, I was driving down a little stretch of the road. I went to see a client on Tuesday in Bal Harbour, and I got off 95 at the turnpike and got on 826 East, which takes you to the beaches in Miami near Sunny Isles. And the problem with that stretch of roadway is there's so many foreigners, Haitian, Hispanic.
Oh, yeah.
These people go from right lane to left lane to right lane like as if...
They're in Brazil.
Yeah.
How we drive in my country.
Yeah. It's like when you watch those little kids bowl with the bumpers and they just
Didn't
roll the ball.
Did you see me cut you off? What's the problem?
Yes. I can go in any lane I want. I think in South Florida, the worst drivers are the Haitians.
Yeah, I don't think they know how to drive, basically.
No, I really don't. I think that they drive like they're English. They just whatever. It's really scary. That's all I'm going to say.
Hysterical.
At any rate. But that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. We're going to cut it a little short today. We got things to do here. Don't forget, it's tax season. Make sure you get all your shit taken care of.
Yeah, taxes.
That's right. And don't forget, next week, all new shows will be coming to you. By the way, guys, if you're in Winter Haven, Florida, I'm going to be there along with my good friend Tim Hanlon and guest Dan Long, local comic, will be going up there. We're going to be at the Applewood Lounge in Winter Haven.
Nice.
8 o'clock show, 8:30 show, so come out to that. Don't forget, next week, guys, Joey Medina's in town, one of the original Latin Kings of comedy.
Yeah, I heard of that guy.
Yeah, he's going to be at Tavolino's Wise Guys Comedy Show next week on Wednesday. And then Thursday, we're going to be at the Sea Spray Resort in Singer Island with artist Treese. Friday, we're going to be at Cortez Restaurant in Miami.
Nice.
And on Saturday, Sunrise Theater in Fort Pierce, Casey and Spaz Comedy. Go to that for dates, but Joey Medina will be in town. I imagine he'll be on the radio show too, so that'll be a lot of fun for us next week. Again, thanks guys for listening. Join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You could follow me at Dougie Dangerous. And of course, load us on Stitcher. Load it down to your any smartphone or app and
yeah,
get
Stitcher.
Free Stitcher and subscribe to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Thanks again, Lenny, for joining us. I want to thank John Levine for joining us today earlier in the show. And don't forget to tell your friends about the show, guys. Subscribe. It's free. And we love that you're listening. Thanks again.
Yeah, it's free.
That's right. And
the
we'll be
Jewish
back
radio
next week with all new shows. Take care.
Hey-o.